Spoonful of Paolo, here we go.
Hey guys, it's Paolo. So today is going to be a really special day because a dream comes true for me. I finally get to sit down and talk to one of the Spice Girls, Melanie C, aka Sporty Spice. You guys, I'm excited because I just read her new memoir, The Sporty One. And let me tell you, she is so open and raw and beautiful in it. I cannot wait to talk to her about it. So I'll see you guys with Mel C. Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I can't believe this is happening and that you're here. Melanie, thank you so much for being on A Spoonful of Paolo. It really is such a dream to interview you and for you to be here. So thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm very happy to be
here.
Thank
you. You know, the last time I saw you in person was when you and the Spice Girls were on tour. The reunion tour was here in LA, 2007. My husband and I and all our friends were there. And then we came to see your show right after. I think it was at the Mint.
Yes.
Your solo show.
Yeah.
It was just what I mean, it's a full circle moment, because when I saw you perform on stage, I'm like, God, she is just has a gift of talent. Your voice is a gift.
Thank you.
So it means so much that you're here and this is happening. So thank you.
Thank you. And that's such a lovely little thing to remember, because of course, you know, we did those shows.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And it was so fun. So in LA and New York, I was lucky enough, the musicians in the band were people I worked with as well. So we just put a little acoustic show together. And it was so fun. I get to have a little
we
moment.
We had such a, and I remember because I'm like, oh, I'm not going to get a picture with her because she's performing. I'm not going to bother her. But Victoria came to see you. And then I got a picture with Victoria. This is my friends came into the picture, which was supposed to be just us two. I love them, but they came into the picture. But yeah, this was the night of your show.
That's so, a great picture.
Isn't it? Yeah. Like,
yeah. Oh, you my look God. Like you're like a power couple, right? Oh, don't you?
Thank you, my love. Okay. So let's talk about your book, Melanie. 418 pages, and I said this earlier to you, every single page was worth the read, because your story, it is so raw. You were so open. You were vulnerable. It's funny. It's very spicy. So I say thank you, because I know you were hesitant to put this out there for years, until I think it was a publisher who said to you, you know, it's your story. Make it your story.
Yeah.
Write whatever you want to write about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what was holding you back all those years to let us read your story, would you say?
You know, I think it was probably some of the experiences that I've had.
Mm.
And also my perception of an autobiography and what that was. And I think in the UK, we have a really brutal tabloid media. And
yes.
That, you know, that's a big part of this story and this journey. And to me, an autobiography or a memoir, it always felt very tabloidy, because of course they draw upon the very obvious things, the gunning, you know, they want the salacious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that always made me feel nervous. But then a little bit of reflecting through the pandemic, being back on stage with the girls in 2019,
yes.
Just all of these things started to shift in my mind, and I started to reflect and feel differently about a lot of things.
Mm.
And I just thought, you know what? This is a really incredible story, and it needs to be told.
Indeed, it needs to be told. And I love, because you talk about your family in the book and how, you know, your parents got a divorce when you were young and how that affected you. But you also talked about your mother and the love she has for singing.
Yeah.
And I think she was 14 years old when she started performing in bands.
Yeah.
And you say that your mother, nothing would hold her back. Do you think that's where you got your motivation, your talent, and your determination from, your mother, just looking at your life?
Do you know what? I actually think that's a really big part
of
me being the way I am. You know, she's incredible. She was unhappy in her relationship and she moved on from my dad. And at that time in her community, that was quite frowned upon. You know, she was very, very brave. Also, she was trying to work in music. Again, in the part of the world she was living in, that was very frowned upon.
Wow.
You know, but she knew what she wanted and she wasn't afraid to go out there and do it and start again.
Wow.
You know, financially she had nothing. So yeah, it's like, you know, and it was the late 70s.
Yes,
so
and you say this in the
different.
Book. Yes, you do. Did that scare you, seeing what your mother went through in the singing, the company, like the dance and all that stuff? Did that like scare you, or did that motivate you more, seeing what your mother went through? Because you said she didn't hold back. Did that just help you say, you know what, I'm going to do it and I'm going to go as far as I can in this business?
Do you know what? Actually, when it came to singing, it held me back.
Wow.
Because singing has always been a passion, but I just thought it was so hard to work in music because I know my mum had worked so hard.
Yeah.
She had a couple of deals in the 70s, but it never really came to anything that
Yeah.
she wanted it to, you know? So she sang all weekend, she worked in offices all week, you know, she really worked as much as she could to get food on the table and to pay the
Wow.
bills. So I was like, you know, I'd love to work in music, but it's so hard, you know? And I
Yeah.
knew my mum was a great talent. And I had to be a performer. That was the only thing that really gave me joy, like nothing else. So I pursued more of a musical theatre direction, thinking that would be an
Yeah.
easier route, but
Yes.
boy, that's hard too.
And speaking of that, because I know when you were 20 years old, you had an audition. Was it called Dance Works, the studio, I
Yeah.
think? Yeah. And so you went there for that audition, but then you get handed a flyer, which I think it was something like this.
Oh my
You
gosh,
see
that's
this?
so weird.
Yes, you saw this. And the
Yeah.
weird thing is, which is so crazy, is that when you saw this, you knew right away, you said, wow, I'm going to be in this. Like you
Yeah,
knew.
yeah.
What was telling you inside that you were going to be a part of this? Because a lot of people would have done the opposite, like, oh no, I can't do this. I'm not ready. Oh my God, this is too much pressure. But you did the opposite. So what was it in you
Yeah.
said that, you know what, bring it on? I'm going to get it.
You know, at this point, I'd left college for only a few months, but I was auditioning for things. I was getting a few recalls, but I wasn't really getting anywhere. I wasn't getting the work I wanted. And when that came, that was like, that's exactly what I want to do. And so it's just an instinct. I was just like, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. And I just set my sights on it then.
Wow. Oh my God, that's so inspiring. And then you didn't give up because like a couple weeks later, they call you for the callback and then you were really sick. You couldn't even talk. And then you made your mom call them, see if they can reschedule it that week. And then they're like, we can't, it has to be today. And you're like, no. But then a couple weeks later, they called you because something happened with one of the girls. They wanted to see you at that moment because you had that, you were inspired. You're like, you're going to get it. But at that moment, when you got that callback, did you know that your life was about to change? Or was there an event you're like, wow, this is my life. This is what I've been dreaming for. This is what I've been hoping for.
I think at that point, because I'd had the setback of being ill
Yeah.
and having to deal with that disappointment of
Yeah.
going, oh, well, you know,
Gosh.
that's, you know, as a performer, there's
Yeah.
many, many disappointments along the way. So it's like, well, you know, I thought that was the one, but obviously wasn't meant to
Yeah.
be. So I think I went into it being a little bit like, don't build your hopes up at that point. And I met the other girls, not all of them at
See,
that
so,
point,
right, I
but I
know.
met Jerry and Victoria and Melby and you know, from that moment, I in the band, and then I think getting to know the girls, and I think especially then when Emma came into the
Yes,
picture,
at the end.
and that it was the five that everybody knows as the Spice Girls, that's when the magic really started
Oh
to
my
happen.
God. This is so crazy. I just think of me as a young little boy watching you on stage, like, I want to be them. I want to be them. It's girl power and I have it in me, you know? And now I'm talking with you. Okay, let's continue this. Okay, in the book, you talk about your confidence. And you said in the book, you said, being a Spice Girl gave me the confidence and courage to speak to anyone, whether they were a big shot, Hollywood player, royalty, or pop icon. No one, regardless of who they are or what they do, should ever feel like they're not good enough. That is such a valuable lesson. Like, it really is. What was it about being in the Spice Girl that gave you that confidence and courage?
I think it was because we had each other
Oh,
and we had this belief, you know,
wow.
because I'm actually quite a shy person,
Yeah.
but other members of the band are much more courageous and outspoken. And just having that, you know, that little network all
Yeah.
backing each other up, it gave me, yeah, it gave me that confidence. And I think what I've learned, you know, I've been so fortunate in my life. I've met most of my childhood
Yeah.
idols.
Yeah,
You know,
you
I've
yes.
had dinner with like my biggest idol. I
I
grew up, you
It's
know,
so
wanting to be
crazy.
that person.
Oh,
And
crazy.
yeah, it's you realize that people are people. You
Yeah.
know, like I say in the book, royalty, you know, dignitaries, big Hollywood stars, or you know, iconic musicians, they are humans, you
Yeah.
know, and we even though we're all unique and all so special in how different we are, we
Golly.
all need the same
It's so
things.
true.
It's
We
so
do
true.
only, I don't care who you are, you're right.
Yeah.
We all, that's who we are inside.
And
We're
we're
all the same.
vulnerable.
Exactly,
And
yes.
that's I've like
Oh.
I'm rebranding vulnerability as
Yes,
a
you are. And it's good. Look, that's what we need.
superpower.
I know all the girls read, the Spice Girls read your book, or they were informed of it. You could talk to them. You guys shared like stories from back then. But was there anything that they didn't know about the struggles or what you went through? Or did the girls know everything? Or were they shocked? or surprised with anything that you wrote about in the book?
Yeah, so I've had an open dialogue with the girls since I decided to do the book. I wanted them to be very comfortable with everything and you know, be, and they've been involved actually because they've helped me remember some bits that I'd forgotten. But I don't think they knew the extent of how much I'd struggled in those years. So when I was diagnosed with depression in 2000, and at that point I'd been, you know, living with an eating disorder for a few years. And I was working on my first solo album, Northern Star, at that point. So I didn't really have much of a relationship with the girls then. Mm. Melanie and Victoria had gone off and had their first babies. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us just needed a little bit of space, needed to kind of reestablish who we were as individuals. So, yeah, and you know, and I was isolating myself as well. It was... It was a difficult time.
Which I think is a good thing. I think, like me, I have six siblings. And I, like I said earlier, we came to LA. I stayed here for 15 years. And it was really to redefine who I am and understand who I am and get to who I am. And even though I love my siblings, I just had to come here and do my thing and be okay with it, you know? And it's crazy because, you know, we saw you as the girl with the glam, the, you know, who was famous, you know, had everything and, and you were successful. And we saw Sporty Spice as the strong girl. But what we didn't know, as you write in the book, is we didn't know that you were dealing with depression, anxiety, and your eating disorders. And you said that it was really hard during, I think, 1997 and 2001. And I remember you saying you had a therapist come to your house for the first time, and for the first time you said out loud that you had an eating disorder. What, like, that had to feel like a relief to say it out loud, because I feel like that's step one of admitting what you have, and then you go from there. Do you remember that day and that you saying that out loud?
I was actually in LA, and that was because I knew for years, because, you know, it started off as, you know, what I believe to be a healthy way of, you know, eating a little bit better and going to the gym a little bit more. But just with everything that was going on around me, that just started to escalate to a point where it became compulsive and unhealthy. And when things started to get a little bit out of control, I'd have this little voice inside me that would say, this isn't right. You can't do this. You know, it's unsustainable. But then I had a bigger voice that would say, but you've got no choice. This is what you have to do. And then, you know, it's so interesting. You say, you know, you came here, and I think any of us in any group of people, we fall into, especially with siblings, there's a dynamic, and you fall into your role in that place, don't you? So I think it's important sometimes to be alone, to just to figure some stuff out, to be with yourself. And when I was here in LA on my own, working on my first album, that's when I thought, I've got to do something about this. And that was the first time I met a therapist.
In chapter 14, I think you titled it Nowhere to Run. I know it's a hard chapter for you to write, but it was really good because you said this, and there you said, an eating disorder is a void. It's a hole that you can't fill. I was lonely. I was unhappy. I was starved of food and affection. Do you think that, like, that little girl in you, do you think she has healed now and she's happy with all the work that you have done to take care of yourself?
I think she's relieved. And, you know, I think, you know, when you look back, because regret is such a, it's such a funny thing, isn't it? Because of course we have regrets, and we would do things differently, but then it's kind of a waste of energy because you can't go back and you can't change the past, right? So we have to learn from those things. But I look back and I feel sad, and I feel regretful to the little girl, you know, because I just think, oh, why did I do that to you? I feel bad that I allowed that to happen, you know, to me. But, you know, the world's a tough place,
it's a tough
place. And we're all dealing with a lot. And I used to see those things as failures. You know, I used to be like really angry with myself that I'd become a victim of, you know, whether it was anxiety, depression, eating disorder, you know, these things I'd done to myself. But then I think, you know, how dare I think that about myself? You know, I look at a lot of the articles that were written about myself and the Spice Girls through the 90s, more so in the UK, because it's really tough there.
Oh, yes.
And I just think, you know, funny to refer to yourself in the third person, but she had no chance. It was, you know, there was so much going on. There was so much pressure. We put pressure on ourselves. We had external pressure. We were being criticized, scrutinized, photographed, pursued by paparazzi. You know, we were being listened to by the media. You know, that's something that's been proved now. So it was like, how would a young vulnerable person escape that unscathed. And we see it time and
Yes,
time
we do.
again,
Oh, yes, we do. We
you
see it with
know?
Britney Spears, what happened with her and with the paparazzis and what her family, everything that happened to her. Like, you feel bad. And I know everyone was rooting for you. I was rooting for you when I was reading your book. And I think because, you say you want people to be inspired by your story. And I was inspired, especially when you talk about the anxiety and the depression, because it's just knowing, and I know that I'm not alone, but when you so detailed about your events in here, I know it's going to help boys and girls out there knowing that they're not alone. And I didn't feel alone either, just because I have you and you're touching me. Oh my
Yes.
God. Like,
I'm so
yeah.
sorry to your husband. I've got
No,
Hans on his knee. He's okay.
he's okay. He's okay. Yeah. So I just, you really, like, I'm just one person and everybody's watching and all these interviews you've been doing, you're really helping so many people out there just by being open and being vulnerable. So, yeah.
Well, that was what was so important to me because, I just didn't want to write a book that was just fluff,
Yeah, I know you didn't. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
and for you to
There's a
say
lot of
that.
books about already like that, and yours is different. Yours is completely different.
For me, it was the final deciding factor. It was like, yeah, it's really fun to talk about the Spice
Yeah.
Girls, and
I know.
there's so much joy and so much to celebrate and
Yes.
uncover, and
Yes.
it's really lovely to go back to my childhood and to to educate people in America about what it's like growing up in the
Yes, yes.
northwest of England, and
Yes.
like the birthplace of the Beatles. I was just growing up
It's
outside
crazy,
Liverpool,
yes.
so that was really fun. But that was the thing, I know it is so common that people are dealing with these things that
Yes.
I've been through. And it was important to be detailed and
Yes.
honest and very descriptive for people to go, some people might go, that's not my depression. Mine
Yes.
doesn't feel like that. But some people will go, whoa,
Yes.
that I feel that.
Okay, I'm thinking right now, like, what would you say to like any boy or girl out there who's watching saying, "Well, I hate my body." What do you want to say to them? Because you've learned a lot from the little girl and where you are today and all the work that you did. So who's ever watching, what would you say to them, like, who's struggling with their looks, their body?
Yeah.
What would you say to
So,
them?
body image is such a difficult
It's
thing
such a difficult
because
thing.
we're so driven by what we see,
Yeah.
and as humans we compare ourselves, in
Yes.
this whole world of social media, it's very
Yes.
difficult to navigate. But I would always say, you are not your body.
That's so good.
You're not your
You're
body,
not your
right?
body.
And we've talked about losing loved ones, but they're still here and we still remember them and
Yes.
we remember the essence of them. We don't remember their physical being,
Oh my God. Yes.
we
You're gonna
don't.
need a part two of your book. It's the continuation of the healing,
And I think once, and it's so hard, and I still have to discipline myself because I think people, and especially my experience, women will put themselves down and speak to themselves in a very derogatory way internally, and that is so unhelpful. Like, I remember, like, my internal dialogue speaking to myself in a way I would never dare to speak to another human being. Like, and I'm not talking about someone I know or someone I love. I mean, I'm talking about a complete
Yes.
stranger.
Yeah. Yes.
That's how we talk to ourselves,
Yes.
So my discipline is, because sometimes I'll say, oh, stupid, why did you do that? Oh, you're an idiot, whatever, you're this, you're that, you're not this, you're not that. And it's like, stop. And what I say is, I go, okay, I hear you, but you're not being very helpful right now. And that's just like my little help to just remind me, because the thing is, it's like, oh yeah, it's okay for you. You're sitting there and and you're successful and you're fit and whatever. But it's like, you know what? There's been times when I've been on the floor and like getting out of bed has been the hardest thing to do. And I've just worked really, really hard at learning to take care of myself, like emotionally. And then physically, that starts to take care of itself.
Remember that you are not your body. I don't think I have a therapist session, I think, in 2 days. I'm going to cancel it for this week because I feel like this has been so
Who's
good.
paying for it?
No. My husband. My husband. It's okay. Okay, we're going to end with this. If you do, we're going to play a little game. We call it a spoonful of you, okay? And if you do good, we got a little surprise for you at the end. You're going to hold a spoon. It's a good luck spoon.
I love it.
I'll give you a minute and you'll answer as many questions as you can, all
Okay.
right? Okay, I'll put the timer on. Are you ready, Patrick? Here we go. Number one. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay. What is one thing you liked about Dancing with the Stars and one thing you hated about Dancing with the Stars?
I loved Gleb.
Yes.
I hated how nervous I got.
Okay. Oh, I voted you each week you were on there. I even told your team. She got my vote. Okay. Okay. That's good. Is there a Spice Girl text group in your phone?
Yes.
Okay. Is Victoria in it?
No.
Victoria, I was going to tell you then to, like, where is that? To text her this pitch and see if she remembers us, but forget that.
I tend to communicate with Victoria just like
one. Oh, one. Okay, okay, yeah. Okay. Good. What would you say if your daughter wanted to wear this costume?
I would be very, very proud, but that's never going to happen.
Goodbye. Do you get residuals for that or anything?
I should.
Yes, you should.
Yeah.
Okay, if you could do a Freaky Friday and swap places with another Spice Girl for one day, who would you want to switch with?
Ooh.
Here we go. Which one?
I think it's got to be Victoria, right? It'd be quite nice to be married to David Beckham, wouldn't it?
Did you hear that, Victoria? Give him that text for Victoria. Okay, Spice World just turned 25 years old, and I know you rewatched it with your daughter and her friends. Did it make you want to do a sequel?
Yes. I'd love to do a sequel. I think that would be amazing.
That's so good. What was harder, writing the book or doing press for the book?
Writing the book.
Okay.
It was so hard.
You're going to get an extra minute because you're just so good at this. So we'll give you an extra minute. Okay, two more questions. What is one thing you've done in your career that would have blown little Melanie C's mind?
What would blow my mind? What would so many things. Being on stage, standing next to Stevie Wonder as he sings Spice Girls. Being invited out for dinner with Madonna.
Oh my God, we love you so much. And if I auditioned to be a Spice Boy, what might my Spice name be?
Oh gosh. Ooh. Well, I'm loving the outfit today. You're kind of like a real,
because
it's like, it's sporty,
right?
But it's like, it's really like luxurious. So you're like, look sporty, Spice.
This is, oh my God,
and
I'm dying.
And that with looks as well.
Oh my God, so much, I love you. Okay, and the last one. What is the most important lesson you hope people will take away from your book?
To trust their instincts. To love themselves, to know that they're enough, and to go out there and pursue their dreams.
Look, Melanie, thank you. Like, I've interviewed so many celebrities. I feel very blessed, you know, my husband and I, to be able to do this. This is our dream. We love every second of it, but it's beyond special when you get someone who you've seen for decades and who've helped you in your life. And I know I speak for every gay boy out there, for all the Dylans and Geos and, you know, all our friends who were so excited to be there last night at your book event. We say thank you.
Oh.
We say thank you and that we love you so much.
Oh, okay. And I love you all, each and every one of you, so much.
Okay, we gotta go because I'm gonna get a picture now. But wait, hold on. You did so good. Oh, yeah. This is the most important thing. She gets a gift. Okay, so this is from you, from my husband and I. You get a little something, the little blue box.
Gosh, my dough is gonna be so cute.
Like, we gotta do the gift.
Do we open this on camera?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Just a little something special. I think that just says about your life and your career.
Oh my God, that is so beautiful. Look at that. I love it. I'm going to have to hide this under lock and key because my daughter is going to see it. Oh, that is so kind.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. When you wear that every time, you just know that you are loved. And we thank you for being so open in your book. Really, thank you. You're gonna help so many kids out there, so many boys and girls. I just can't even say enough about it. So thank you, okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Oh. Thank you, guys. We love you. Thank you, Melanie. What an honor. We love you so much. Thank you, Patrick. And if you like us, give it a thumbs up. If you don't like us, move to the next video. Okay, bye.
See ya.
Oh my God.
Wonderful, thank you.
What a dream. We're done.
That was such a great interview. You know what? It was the best interview.
What? Are you
serious? We truly did save the best to last.
Thanks for joining me today on the A Spoonful Apollo podcast. For tons more interviews or the video version of this episode, visit our website, aspoonfulapollo.com, or our YouTube channel.
I'm Paolo Presta, and I hope you always remember to dream big.
Dream big.
Spoonful of follow.
I love you, Oprah. Bye, everyone. We'll see you next time.